Jesus Christ, and say it with me.
Amen.
You can't handle the gray and the cold. Fall started early, winter, let's say it comes early too, and let's say it's worse than ever, and finally you say, I gotta get out of here, and you fly as far as you can, as fast as you can, to a place as blue and bright and warm as it can be. Let's say, I don't know, you go to Tahiti? You go to Tahiti. You leave your car at the Minneapolis airport and you fly to someplace beautiful and you stay there for a couple months, but finally you gotta come back. And sure enough, there's been 36 inches of snow right before your plane touches down. So that when you get back to the long-term parking, you left your car in really, really long-term parking because you were going to be gone so long. There was no shelter above your car, and now your car is covered. In fact, you don't even know where your car is because it's been a couple months. Hard to remember exactly where in the parking lot. And then all the snow besides. So how do you figure out which car is yours? Which car is the right car? You would have to take out your fob. Just about everybody has one of these now with their cars, don't they? You'd have to walk around like this, wouldn't you? And see if the light turns on one of them, if there's a beep somewhere underneath all sorts of powder, and then you could dig that one out and try to get back home. Because the right car is surely the one that gets you home. Right? We're going to put those keys right there. Because we're going to talk a little bit about cars. We're going to talk a lot about God. And we got to figure out if you got the right car to get you home. Do you have the right church? Do you have the right religion? Is there any real reason for Lutheran Christians to whoop it up and say, thank you, God, for 500 years since some guy a long time ago, a long ways away, started what he called the Lutheran rumpus. Should we celebrate? And if so, why and how? A whole bunch of people in our town have not celebrated in the last week, right? And if you ask them, they would say, well, isn't every religion just as good as another? Isn't one car just as good as another car to get you where you're going? How do you know your car is the right car? You just go to your church because that's what you grew up in. Your dad drove a Ford, so you drive a Ford. Isn't that how you decided? That's a pretty good question to think about, isn't it? How do you know? Martin Luther asked himself that all the time. He was really super in doubt sometimes. The devil came to him and said, Bist du allein klug? You alone are the smarty pants? You got it all figured out, right? And everybody else is wrong? Come on. How do you know? I should read this verse again. Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord. Not to us. No. Twice. No. Like my mama. When I'm a little boy saying to me, Danny, no, no, and she'd say it twice. She told me once she thought I was going to think my middle name was no, no, because she said it twice. All the time. No, no. God says here, no. Although it's God's people. Who was the Jewish man or men who wrote this? We don't know. On what occasion? We don't know. For what setting? But to what end? We know that they ended up singing this. Our ancestors of old in the faith, once for all delivered to the saints, they sang this at Passover. No. To us, no. To your name give the glory, God. On account of your love and on account of your faithfulness. The very next verse says, why do the nations say, where is their God? And again, does that pinpoint a particular time in Jewish history? Hardly. Let's start in Egypt. That's where the nation first forms, really. Where is your God? The Egyptians could have said, ours is up in the sky. Do you see that sun up there? Ours is floating right down this river valley in the middle of our nation. There's our God. Where's your God? Where's your leader? You're slaves. You're fools. You have no power. You have no clout. You have no hope. Where's your God? And then God gets him out of Egypt all on his own, despite their fears. And he parts the Red Sea, and they end up in the Sinai Desert. And again, you know the story. Any nation that would have been paying attention could have said, where is their God? After they left Sinai, they wandered around for 39 years in the desert. They got no direction. They got no map or no clue. Where is their God? They got a tent, but there's no statue inside their tent. Where's their God? And then they get into the promised land. Moses was talking to us before. They sure were not God's favorites right before they entered the promised land. And God said he would sell them, which he did. They had lots of troubles. Even as they conquered their enemies, still the Philistines resisted. And they could have said, where is their God? They have no giant like we do. They have no iron chariots and iron weapons like we do. Where is their God? And sure, David was a great king and Solomon really good after him too, but still, it didn't last. The kingdom divides after Solomon's braggart of a son blows it, and then nations start attacking again, pretty successfully. One time it was the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Maonites, and they had this huge swarm, and they tried a really tricky attack across the Dead Sea from the east. Jehoshaphat, the good king in Jerusalem, finds out, prays to God because he knows they have no way they can do it on their own, and then sends a choir out in front of the army to lead them in the battle. A choir singing, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. That's your plan? You have no plan. You have no strategy. You have no military prowess. What are you doing, Jehoshaphat? Where is their God? And then it was the Assyrians, about 100 years after that, who got rid of the northern kingdom completely, who attacked all the cities in order in the southern kingdom. We were talking about this a little last week in connection with Psalm 46. Because it got down to so all of God's people on earth were in one city. That was it. It was hopeless. And the Assyrian general said, stop trusting in your God. And he said vile things about bathroom stuff. And Isaiah told Hezekiah, he isn't going to get an arrow in here. You watch. God kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. What did Israel do to deserve it? Nothing. What did they accomplish on their own? So when 100 years later the Babylonians come in and they finish off Jerusalem and they torch the temple and they carry off gold articles to the temple of their god, Marduk, and they say, where is your God? We even walked inside your temple. There was no God in there. And now we've clearly won and now you're in Babylon. Well, the lie was half true, wasn't it? The best lies are always half truths. Because Israel never had it all together. They never were successful, not big picture. And things were good for a little while and then got bad. And if that makes you think of a synod that you're part of that used to be bigger and now is trending down a little bit in membership, or if you think back to Trinity, we're about to celebrate our 150th anniversary in 2019 if Jesus tarries, and yet our congregation was bigger advancing toward and celebrating its 75th anniversary than today. What's going on? Same thing as always. Same as when Israel got back to the land. They had no walls around Jerusalem. They had no king. And their enemies would have taunted them and said, you have no hope. Where is your God? All you can do to rebuild your temple is get money from the Persian king? And now your temple's nothing. It's just... So every year, especially, we should picture this when they're in exile. Every year, God's people, among the songs they sang at Passover, when Jewish men would put blood on the doorposts and say, our God came once and he delivered us all on his own. We didn't do anything. He got us out of Egypt. It was a lamb. And the angel of death didn't touch us. They would sing this song again, and they would sing, not to us, not to us, Lord. Give your name the glory. Do whatever it takes so that everyone sees that you did it all by yourself, and it wasn't us. It wasn't our merit. It wasn't our wisdom. It wasn't our strength. It was all you. Boy, that's a good song still to sing, isn't it? In fact, we're going to sing it in a few minutes in Hymn 392. That's how you celebrate 500 years. Like they celebrate it every year. Not to us, Lord. Not to us. Does every car get you home? How do you know which one is the right one? Should we be congratulating ourselves today You're going to remember this, I hope. Should we be saying to ourselves, we have the clearest windshield of any church around here. We're so clear in the way we see things. Not, no. Twice, no. Not to us. To your name give glory, God. You're the one that's always raised up people to give us your word. You're the one that's given us your Holy Spirit so that we would trust in your word. Why would we ever take any credit? In fact, that really is the best test. You know how when you talk to a car guy and you say, like, what's the best car I should get? And then the car guy wants to give you like the half hour answer. And some of you are car people. I am not. But so you ask a pastor, so which church is the right church? And then you're going to get like this super long, complicated answer that nobody really can understand, right? No. Twice no. How do you know that you're in the true visible church of God on earth or not? And the simple answer is you find the one and the only one that says that God gets all the glory. That God made heaven and earth. It didn't come about in any way in its own. It was all God in the creating. It was all God when it was coming to redeeming, whether it was his Old Testament people, whether it was Jesus on the cross. All credit goes to God. You want to find one with a catechism that said we didn't even trust in this on our own. Not by our own thinking or choosing. Do we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him? But the Holy Spirit, he calls us by the gospel. Not to us, Lord. It's the best test. Whether the church you're sitting in, the church you're part of, can really rightly celebrate and claim, because don't all cars end up in the same place if you're driving the right way? I mean, can we... Two other things about that. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory. The psalm writer says, because of your love, here's love. It's red. And it's this, there's no gas in here. But it's a fairly good picture of one reason we got to remember God's kindness, God's mercy today. Because it's the gas for our engine. How are we going to continue to serve God in this congregation? How are we going to proclaim his name to the nations? A speaker comes tomorrow. Please come if you can. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Tell us about spreading the gospel in Nepal. Where does the energy come from? Where's the... It's God's own mercy to us. We love only because he first loved us, not to earn any points with him or get some place. How could we? Jesus is the one who died for us. He shed his holy blood. And along with that, what goes together, of course, with gas but oil. And they're pretty much, like, they're almost from the same source, and yet they're different. And so it is with love and faithfulness. Will this help you remember? Love and faithfulness. Mercy and truth. Call them what you want. But without oil in the engine, it is going to stop really quickly, won't it? You need to keep going. Keep on. And it's the faithfulness of God. It's the always keeping his promises. It's the truth of God so that you read his word and you know for sure this is real. To put it another way, what's the average price of a new car in America today? You know? 2 years ago. Because it's not really, it's not the MSRP. That's like going to Kohl's and saying, how much is the sweater? The sweater's not really $110. It's always on sale, right? So same with cars and mattresses. It's always on sale in some way. Once you get rid of the incentives, in 2015, average car in America was $30,500. And then last year, it was up to $30,900. And then earlier this year, the people that count all these things said the average cost, once you deduct the incentives for the brand new car in America, $31,400. Is that the right car for you? Wouldn't the right one be the free one? As if there is such a thing. But with God, there actually is, isn't there? When God gets all the credit, when God throughout all history, through his Son, shows love and faithfulness to sinners, well then, one last way of putting it. This time don't picture yourself trying to find your car in the snow-drenched parking lot near the airport. But rather, Picture the guy up in the cities today. There's some concert or music event up in the cities, and he's trying to find a parking spot, and he's driving around and around, and there's nothing. He can't find anything, and he circles one more time, nothing. So then he starts praying. God, you got to help me find a parking spot. Still, nothing. And then he starts bargaining. God, if you help me find a parking spot, I promise I'll go to church next Sunday, and I'll give 1/10 of my income to you. I promise. He goes around the corner. Immediately, there's an open parking spot. And he prays, wait, no, forget about it. I just found one. If God is full of grace to you, and love, and faithfulness, and truth, then what else could you do but want to give him all the glory? It's a rare prayer. Along with the best tests. It's all of our prayer today. That God may get glory in everything we think and say and do. Let's stand, shall we, and sing him 300.